order. It is 1:36 p.m. on Wednesday, February 7, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juno LAO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Tobin, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today we'll be returning to executive orders. The first is Executive Order 133, eliminating the Criminal Justice Advisory Board, and Executive Order 135, eliminating the Alaska Safety Advisory Council. Here to present a brief summary of findings that the committee requested at our last meeting is my staff, Brianna Kakarik. Ms. Kakarik, if you would please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and you may begin your remarks.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, I am Brianna Kakarik, staff to Senator Klayman and the Senate Judiciary Committee aide. At the last Senate Judiciary Committee meeting on Wednesday, January 31st, it was suggested that our office prepare a brief summary of findings for the executive orders, and I'm here to put our findings on the record. We received a legal memo from Legislative Research about Executive Order 133, eliminating the Criminal Justice Information Advisory Board. I distributed this memo to the committee, and it has also been uploaded on BASIS. Article 3, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska states, the governor may make changes in the organization of the executive branch or in the assignment of functions among its units, which he considers necessary for efficient administration. Where these changes require the force of law, they shall be set forth in executive orders. The legislature shall have 60 days of a regular session or a full session, if of shorter duration, to disapprove these executive orders. Unless disapproved by resolution concurred in by a majority of the members in joint session, these orders become effective at a date thereafter to be designated by the governor. This article is what gives the governor authority to issue this EO. When asked if EO 133 conforms to Article 3, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska, legal research stated the short answer is probably yes. That is a direct quote from the memo. The EO transfers functions of the existing board to the Department of Public Safety and makes no statutory changes other than those necessary to effectuate the reorganization. Other findings our office looked into were the makeup of the board and the frequency of meetings. The Criminal Justice Information Advisory Board has 9 members. There's 1 vacant position for a municipal police officer. They have not met since September 12, 2018, and before that, they had 1 meeting in 2017 and 3 in 2003. By statute, the board is required to meet at least once every 6 months and is scheduled to meet quarterly. Moving on to Executive Order 135, eliminating the Alaska Safety Advisory Council. We received a legal memo from Legislative Research for EO 135. The question asked was if EO 135 conforms to Article 3, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska. Legal research stated the short answer is probably yes, for similar reasons as EO 133. EO 135 is transferring functions of the Council to the Department of Labor and Workforce Development with no statutory changes other than those necessary to effectuate the reorganization. Other findings our office looked into were the makeup of the board and the frequency of meetings. The Alaska Safety Advisory Council has 14 positions. As of 2023, there are 9 active members listed, with 7 of their terms expiring in 2024. There are currently 5 vacant positions listed. The council meets during the annual Governor's Safety Conference. Their meeting history also includes 2 meetings in 2023, 1 in 2011, 1 in 2010, 2 in 2009, 1 in 2008, and 1 in 2006. In closing, this may have echoed some of the previous information that was shared during the last presentation, but I hope it was helpful to the committee. I am here to answer any questions, but I may defer to experts in the room or online.
I don't see any questions from committee members, but I do have one question. With regard to the Alaska Safety Advisory Council, does the meeting schedule mean they have been meeting annually during the safety conference, and then the meetings listed were in addition to the annual safety conference?
through the chair. From my online research, it looked like it was in addition to the scheduled meetings, and they were pretty consistent meeting at the annual conference.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much. Our first order of business today is Executive Order 133, eliminating the Criminal Justice Information Advisory Board. This is the second time this committee has heard this executive order. Before begin public testimony, I want to recognize that both Lisa Purinton from the Department of Public Safety and the Public Safety Commissioner is also with us today and available to answer any questions from the committee. Are there questions from the committee for anyone from the Department of Public Safety? Hearing and seeing none, I'd like to open public testimony on Executive Order 133. If there is anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony on Executive Order 133, please come forward. I see no one online and no one in the room, so I'm going to close public testimony on Executive Order 133. Any other questions from the committee? I do actually have a question, and I'll throw down either of you from the department. It looks like from the research from my staff this committee has barely met. Can you give any background on why it's not meeting and why it hasn't met for such a long time? Absolutely, you can both come forward.
Are we still on record?
We are on record. You have to choose. We're not going to choose for you.
Thank you. For the record, Lisa Parnton, Division of Statewide Services Director with the Department of Public Safety, to the chair. The reason that what I've been able to look through our records, the inconsistency on meeting for this board is partly due to personnel changes. Each time a director or the commissioner changes, it takes a while to get that, all the responsibilities, and the department has a lot of councils and boards that it's a member of as well. So that's part of the reason. And for recent changes, a lot of it had to do with just competing priorities on what the department was doing outside of the board, the Criminal Justice Information Advisory Board, so it's the CJAB. It's easier to do an acronym, so if you'll humor me with the CJAB, is, for example, we've got a significant undertaking right now with our Criminal Justice Information Services Modernization System, and it's replacing all of our existing criminal justice systems that the department has that are sitting on a legacy mainframe system that was brand new in the 80s, and that's what we're using now. And so we're undertaking a process to modernize that. It's a five-year project. We're coming into year three of that project to modernize it, and we've been working with all of our partner organizations through this. So when we have these projects to do, it's been easier to reach out with our partner organizations and to work through those processes with agencies directly rather than trying to convene a board to kind of address those issues. Same thing through the chair, reference to Senator Tobin had a question about fingerprinting and the importance of that. And when we see the need on that, it was just easier to reach out to the partner agencies to come up with a solution, and we're able to find that solution and move forward with it rather than having to go through this process with the board.
I don't see any other questions from members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our second and last order of business is Executive Order 135, eliminating the Alaska Safety Advisory Council. This is the second hearing of the executive order. Before I open up testimony, I want to recognize that Chief Elaine Banda from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development is online and available to answer any questions from the committee. Ms. Banda, I do have one question to start with. I was not at the last hearing before this committee, but I understand there had been some questions raised about whether there's fiscal impacts of the proposal, and I understand that the department had advised a House hearing that this change would add two PCNs and a cost of about $260,000 for the department, and I wanted to see if you could provide some further commentary on that or where the fiscal impacts sit, because it sounds like at least when we heard this before in this committee, it was a little ambiguous.
For the record, this is Elaine Banda, Chief of Consultation and Training, and through the chair, yes, when we last spoke, it was a little ambiguous, but since then, I have met with our director and have conferred that there will be a need for two positions to support this transition, and the funding would be through general with a general fund authority with a cost of roughly $263,000, and this would include personnel services. That would be funding for the position. And what we will be looking at, I think last time I spoke, I said three positions, but they scaled that down to two. So what we would be looking at is funding for probably a range 21, a safety program manager or liaison, and then a project manager, which would be about a range 16 or 18. Other funding would be cost for travel, because we still want to reach out to Alaskans all over the state, which is rural Alaska, Southeast, Upiavik, so all over. Also funding for services, which would include things like office space. I want to be clear that if the Department of Labor, currently right now, ASAC, the Advisory Council, is housed under the Division of Labor and Safety Standards. So we will remove ASAC and insert this new safety entity that would oversee this all the duties that were outlined in the executive order. So we would need office space for that, a computer, printer, and then a line item for commodities such as paper, pencils, whatever, office supplies. So that's a good breakdown. And a further breakdown, it's roughly estimated that the personnel service cost for the positions would be roughly $255,000. Thank you. Do you have any questions for me on that?
Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Banda, good to hear your voice again. So it's been a minute since I looked at the budget documents. But there is funding in this allocation now. I know a portion of that comes in conference fees from the safety conference. But it sounds like these are incremental costs, or is this a different reflection of the funding in the allocation today?
Yeah, this is a different reflection. So let me just, conference fees, that is a whole separate ball game. That money is what we call program receipts, and that money specifically funds the conference. So whatever money that is spent on the conference, when we hold the conference, we have to pay that money back. So that's a separate pot of money. And the pot of money, there is a little line item if you're looking at that fiscal note where there's currently $26,000. That is the administrative support that the state gives to the ASAC committee. So if this executive order is transition to the state, that money would be absorbed within that $255,000 for personnel services. I hope I explained that correctly, or where it makes sense.
It's helpful, Mr. Chairman. I think I will look at that fiscal impact document again.
So, Senator Keel has the advantage of serving on the Finance Committee, which is sometimes a distinct advantage. I don't serve on the Finance Committee, so I'm going to follow up on Senator Keel's question a little bit differently. As we sit here today, I would figure that some of the work that's done relating to this council is somebody's doing that work today. Who is doing that work today, and how much are we paying for that work to be done?
So as it stands right now, we have volunteers who do just the council. But the problem is that the council, if you read the executive order, there are many other duties that have gone unfulfilled for many, many years. And I've been a part of the conference since 2012. It just has never been, we're dealing with volunteers and people who have full-time jobs. And the most they're willing to, as far as their time, and I do understand, is to donate that time just to the conference. So the other impact is all of the other duties.
Hold on just a second. I just want to make sure. The work the executive order proposes to do is currently being entirely performed by volunteers. It may be that those volunteers don't get all the work done because there's a lot of work, but presently that work is all being done by volunteers, and the proposal of the executive order is to create two positions in the executive branch that would perform the work that some may not be getting done, but it's essentially replacing the work of volunteers with two paid positions.
So let me clarify that. The only thing that the volunteers are doing is the conference. There is no other work that the volunteers do. So you're not paying anything, and you're not getting anything either, other than the Governor's Safety and Health Conference.
So you're telling me that, are you telling this committee that the governor's executive order is now not just to eliminate the committee, but now to have additional work done by these two state employees that was never being done by the council?
So when I was last week, what we're proposing is to have an entity that will oversee the duties that's outlined in the executive order. So we would still have volunteers, which we currently have a few, but we would have an entity with the state that would oversee the duties to ensure, like for instance, our state doesn't have a safety and health plan, and that was the role of ASAC. That has never happened. ASAC should be responsible for going out and promoting safety and health to places like schools, nonprofit, just all over the state. That's something that hasn't been done. There are, if you've read that executive order, there are like 15 different duties that have not been done. And therefore, if we have an entity that can ensure that these responsibilities are getting done, then that will help our state.
And so that's the reason for these two new staff positions is to do work that presently isn't being done at all.
Correct.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. And it's good to hear your voice again. I'm sorry we cannot see you in person. Can I ask who staffs the committee now and who supports this group of volunteers? And is it a dedicated staff position, or is this an addition to that individual's other workload or other duties is assigned?
Okay, I'm going to try that. When you say who staffs the committee, are you saying who is on the ASAC committee?
Senator Tobin.
Thank you. No, to clarify, who is the state employee who reaches out to committee members, recruits committee members, provides updates to committee members, helps manage state assets and resources for committee members, does the activities that committee members identify need to have state involvement or state resources allocated? Who is the kind of coordinator of the committee at this point in time?
At this point in time, we have through the chair. At this point in time, we have one part-time person. That's where that $26,000 of funding. But that position is only used during the Governor Safety and Health Conference. So all those other duties that you were talking about, Senator Tobin, that needs to be done, those don't get done by anybody.
Follow up?
Senator Tobin.
And you won't be surprised, as I mentioned this when we last saw you, in that volunteer management is a defined skill set, and it takes a dedicated position. And so I can understand the burden and heavy weight managing a group of volunteers puts on your shoulders and on this part-time person's shoulders. But it sounds like in lieu of potentially alienating community members who want to give their time to improve safety in our communities, that it could be viewed that instead of having two PCNs to take over that work, we have one PCN full-time who does the volunteer management and coordination of this particular community group who seem to care. And I don't want to disenfranchise them for the things that they care about.
Through the record, through the chair, I'm sorry, excuse me, through the chair.
Okay.
Through the chair. Yes, Senator Tobin, I definitely understand what you're saying, but my position, I'm just one member on the ASAC Council. We currently have nobody. We have zero people. And that's what these two positions would be for, partly to manage and someone to do outreach. That's part of what ASAC should have been doing, outreaching, getting people who want to be a part of this volunteer committee. So the volunteers, we want someone who's willing to step up and who can do the job. But currently, that position that we have, that part-time position that's only active during the conference, that's not a part of their duty. We have no one to do that. We have, when the conference comes, we send out an email. That person sends out an email to pass to former members to spread the word, and if people are interested, they show up. And like I said last time, of those nine people who are active, we have five people, and these are working people who have full-time jobs that show up, and nobody oversees that.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much. I'm going to now open public testimony for Executive Order 135. If you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not clear and it's often difficult to hear what you're saying. First, I'll ask if there's anyone in the room who would like to testify. I don't hear or see anyone, and then I don't have anyone that has called in. So I'm going to close public testimony on Executive Order 135. Are there any other questions from the committee? Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's not a question. It's just something that I hope the public knows is that a volunteer who gives their time has a value. The independent sector, which is a nonprofit group that looks at volunteer time worth across each state, puts a single volunteer hour here in the state of Alaska at $33.60. And that is not a skilled volunteer such as yourself that might provide legal assistance or something to that case, but just a volunteer who gives of themselves to the community. So I think it's important to acknowledge that volunteers do give and those in-kind dollars have a value.
Thank you very much. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was perusing budget documents as you and Senator Tobin spoke with the section chief. It's interesting. We authorize about $280,000 in this section now, but that's not general funds. It's all receipts. They collected in 23 about $111,000. Some split of that is between values between the part-time employee and the 5 to 8, 9 volunteers. And so the question before us in the executive order is, do we want to is the governor justified in doing away with the volunteers at the council who serve a role in this conference? Independently and separately from that, we have a question, do we want to pay for 2 full-time permanent state employees to do the other dozen or so tasks assigned to but not currently being carried out by the council? That they're independent questions, I think. And so I don't think it's the right idea to conflate them. I also just want to flag that it's not guaranteed that the legislature, through this process, will fund those 2 positions, whether or not the executive order takes effect. So there's a lot to chew on here, but I thought maybe it'd be good to just put kind of the budget questions in a separate perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate both those comments. I do think that this executive order raises, I think, some more complicated questions than Executive Order 133 raises, which is essentially taking a committee that, by all indications, seldom meets, and that the functions of that committee seem to be effectively managed by the department with their current staffing structure, whereas Executive Order 135 actually effectively proposes adding 2 new sections to the Alaska statutes. That typically is something that is our power as the legislature. And not only that, is it adding to statutes, but it's adding a significant, roughly $250,000 fiscal cost. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that public safety isn't one of our greatest responsibilities under the Constitution. It is, but that raises the question further, is if we think that these functions need to be taken up differently, is it best to do that by executive order? Is it better to look at that as a legislative change where it gets a more detailed review by all members of our both House and the Senate? That's just thoughts and nothing conclusive. But I appreciate those comments from the committee. We're going to adjourn for the day. The Senate Judiciary Committee meeting for Friday the 9th at 1:30 has been canceled. We'll have our next meeting on Monday, February 12th at 1:30 p.m. With that, we stand adjourned. Time is now 2:04 p.m.